Okay, this is the Ninth Party Roundtable discussion. I'm Thomas Robb.
Thanks, Rob.
And then, who else we got here? We got our sidekicks here. We got three sidekicks. There we go.
And we have Abigail. A year and a half.
She's not going to say much.
No.
So anyway, it is Sunday afternoon. Now, what's the date today?
Today is the 19th.
March 19th. Friday was St. Patrick's
Day. St. Patrick's Day.
What do you do for St. Patrick's Day?
I didn't do too much, but one thing I'm happy about is that Monday is the first day of spring.
Yeah.
It's officially I lost.
But we're not on Monday yet. We're on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
What do you do on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, you can still be happy about spring coming.
Well, yeah, I am.
I am.
Did you do an Irish jig or something?
No. I don't know much about that.
Yeah.
We don't have many Irishmen, so to speak, in South Africa. I don't know much of the culture.
Well, you're embracing St. Patrick's Day now, right?
Of course, wearing my green, you know. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's become kind of like a racial holiday in some respects.
Yes.
So
it really has become the unofficial white man's holiday.
Yeah.
Because.
But I saw Juan Williams. He's a black guy at Fox News wearing a green tie yesterday.
Yes.
Is he Irish?
He, I guess he is. If he's wearing green, you know, he has a little bit of Irish. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's an Irish jig. You know, maybe it's that African dance. You know. But you know, it really is. St. Patrick's Day really has become the unofficial unofficial holiday.
I hear a while back they're claiming that the shamrock was a racist symbol.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
They're claiming the shamrock was a racist symbol.
Well, I know years ago, you know, we had published in the Crusader, and this is going back like in the 90s in Chicago. There was even the blacks and the anti-white crowd who was upset with the Irish because they were starting to claim that the shamrock was racist, was a racist symbol. Some of the Irish symbols, you know, they were basically saying that's a racist symbol because that's what white people identify themselves. And of course, in Chicago, you know, it has a huge Irish population.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, I mean, that was going back in the 90s, you know, and we had that in the Crusader newspaper.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever get a foothold, but it might. Who knows? I mean, lots of things, they start out small. They sound really off the wall, bizarre, but they keep
Look at the American flag.
Yeah.
Look at the statues of the Southern Confederate soldiers in the South. Who would have thought that you would have, in the Deep South, Confederate soldiers, a monument being removed.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought of that? I mean, that people 20, 30 years ago would say, you're crazy.
Yeah. The American flag is under attack, and people don't realize
American, and the Christian cross.
There was a school, I think it was in Michigan. We had a story on it, Resistance News here last week. But there was a story of a school, I think it was in Michigan, but I could be mistaken on that. And they played another school, the school basketball, and the school they're playing against, I guess, has a lot of immigrants there. But the other school, which more rural or suburban, they came with waving American flags and red, white, blue attire on and so forth. And they're forced to apologize for being displaying symbols of racism. You know, now, why should if these migrants are coming to embrace America, why should they be upset about the American flag? Yeah, the shows are, they don't care about America. So the American flag is under attack, too.
No, absolutely. Well, and there's already been court precedents in the Ninth Federal Circuit Court, which says that if a school feels that American flag is, or American shirts are being worn in order to
be offensive?
Yeah, be offensive to Mexicans on Cinco de Mayo Day, then schools can ban the American flag. I mean, that's already the law of the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's just as a stepping stone, you know. And so it's amazing that, you know, when we look at our culture, how it's being attacked, you know, people say, okay, well, I can see the shamrock could be racist. Well, what about the American flag and the cross? And it basically, it's just an attack on white people. Well, that's what it comes right down to it.
So, Caleb, Friday school on St. Patrick's Day, did they talk about anything? They didn't bring up St. Patrick at all?
Nope.
What about you, Tatum?
No.
They did.
I know they did. You've told us.
You told us. What did you learn about St. Patrick's Day? About the colors?
The blue was the original color.
The blue was the original color instead of green.
Yeah.
So people think of St. Patrick's Day, they think of the green color, and actually it was blue, right?
And how did it become green?
Do you remember? Yeah. You gotta use your words. You don't remember?
No.
Okay.
Caleb Prince, my boy.
Yeah, so that's, at first when he told me a couple days ago about that, I was thinking, well, maybe, you know.
Maybe somebody's teasing you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so we checked it out, and he actually was right. So blue was the original color, St. Patrick's, and then turned green. I'm assuming it probably is in some parts in Ireland. They probably still use blue as a color. But now most people recognize as green as the color of St. Patrick's Day.
And as I understand, St. Patrick's Day in America is more like a celebration, where Ireland is more just a day to go to church. It's really not a...
More religious.
It's becoming that.
Right.
But America is more, it's not a St. Patrick's Day party.
Yeah.
But Ireland is not that way. It's just like a solemn day of attending church and so on. But we were talking with Tate yesterday. Caleb was not around. And so I told him, because I asked, I was teasing him. I said, so are you a smart boy? He said, yes. Which he is. Him and Caleb both. I said, you a smart boy? Yes. I said, how long have you been smart? He said, I was born smart. But I told him, there's a little bit of lesson. Nobody's born smart. There's three things needed to be a smart person. IQ, you're born with an IQ.
Right.
Smart is something you apply yourself to learn. So you have a high IQ, but if you don't apply yourself to learn, you can still be dumb.
Right.
Okay. But the last thing, you can have a high IQ and be smart and know stuff, but the last thing is wisdom. You can have somebody who's very smart and not have wisdom.
Common sense,
you know. And you can have somebody who's very ignorant on world knowledge, but just has some real good wisdom in their life philosophy. So the three things boys need to understand, you got IQ, you can't help that. You either have it or you don't have it. But that's why marrying somebody, you know, of our own race and heritage and culture is so important. And then the next thing is then smart, applying yourself. But then the other thing is a person has to seek wisdom. And so that's something we hope you and then will do as you grow older.
Well, we always pray about that every night, don't we? Yeah.
What about you, Abigail?
As long as she has her beer.
She just gave me a look.
Yeah. She's a year and a half old, so as long as she has a beer.
She heard her name. She turned a look.
Teddy bear and something to play with. She's ready to go.
Ready.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we covered St. Patrick's Day in kind of a minimal way. So now you were saying about spring.
Spring. Okay. Well, this is officially the last weekend of winter.
Right.
And then Monday is spring, the first day of spring.
Yeah.
So now you can declare it, Boss Rob.
I can declare spring.
You can officially
declare it. Too late. I've already declared it.
You know, I looked on the map and it said the next 10 days are supposed to be clear.
It's supposed to be really nice.
Yes,
yeah.
So today is going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So. Absolutely.
Well, a lot of things are happening here at the center because of spring. We have, of course, the Faith and Freedom Conference coming up. And so yesterday, which was Saturday, we spent all day. We had a work day here at the grounds, and we cleaned up behind the office, brush piles and stuff like that, just kind of sprucing that up and continue on digging a
spruce it up the foyer of the church
for, but digging outside lines for
security cameras. Yeah.
And then just picking up stuff around the grass and the yard and stuff like that out in the fields for the conference, and just making everything really nice and neat and presentable. We always like we always like our grounds to be presentable and a nice family retreat when people come out here, and something people can be proud of.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I guess with Faith and Freedom Conference, that's April 28th, 29th, and 30th. So it's not that far away. And so people really need to be making plans to be here and put that on their calendar. Bring your children and spouse, and they'll really have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Caleb, at the Faith and Freedom Conference, do you like to plan the kids to come?
The kids
don't know. Well, the kids don't know, you get to learn to know, right? Yeah, so the kids always have a lot of fun. What do you do down there at the playground?
Mostly just play games. Dad mostly play games.
Yeah. You play the swing, don't you? You go down the fireman pole on the playground?
No, he doesn't.
You don't go down the fireman pole?
Other kids do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like going on the tire swing. It's like my favorite swing.
The tire swing?
And you get spin around. And you can, like, swing back and forth and spin.
Yeah. The other kids like that, too?
What do you call those apparatuses?
They just like playing all the cars and stuff.
The what?
The actual shape of everything that makes the force. Is it called the force in America? Yeah. The setup with the swings and the
playground.
Playground. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Playground.
Okay. Yeah. That's really nicely built. That's nice.
Usually, can we decide if it plays superheroes?
And there's a lot of grounds that you guys can run around on, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is nice.
Like, play superheroes, like I usually play. Like sometimes I play as Beast Boy. And sometimes
Tim
plays
at
Cyborg.
Yeah, right. Now, before the conference, one of the things the boys help out in some is we put flags up. We put flags all around the perimeter of the campground. And so it always looks nice. People come up there and see all the flags flying in the breeze. And we put all the flags of various nations of Europe. Sometimes they get old and they may not get replaced real quickly, but we try to keep various nations of Europe. We have Confederate flags and the Don't Tread on Me flags, the American flag, and different flags. People like to see the flags fly. It's kind of inspiring. I think it is anyway. See all the flags flying.
I usually play as Robin.
You play Robin in the Teen Titans?
Yeah, Beast Boy's my favorite.
Okay. All right. What about you, Tatum?
You don't know? Yeah, you don't know.
His favorite player is Cyborg.
Wow. Let me ask you this, guys. Is usually Faith and Freedom, there's a nature hike, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you like about the nature hike?
Go to the cave.
So the nature hike, you and all the other kids go
to our cave.
Go to a cave and look around. Pretty neat exploring.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. Most kids that come to conference, if they don't live in the country, they've never been in a cave before. So to them, that's like really cool. You know, to actually go walk on a trail and to go see some caves and then go like crawl inside.
Yeah, we have a fireplace.
We do, and of course, in the Ozarks, there's a lot of caves. But other kids, if they live in the city and stuff like that, they've never been in a cave before.
Now, they don't go way down deep.
No.
Caving, like, crawling down the belly.
No,
to the inner sections of the
little,
cave.
The little opening,
yeah.
You know, and just a few feet. I mean, there's nothing like that. And
bring your headlight to the lamp.
Yeah. We're going caving. Yeah.
Nothing like that. Just got to go to the entrance of the cave. But it's pretty neat.
But it's a nice walk. And you're going to the cave. It's out in the No, dirt road in the woods, and it's springtime. It's really warm outside, and it's just a log cabin house, you know. But
in that time of year, we hear the whippoorwill in the evening. And if people don't know what a whippoorwill is, you know, it's a nice. Now, the bird itself is kind of an ugly looking bird.
Right.
But the sound of whippoorwill makes it kind of nice. And the, even Hank Williams wrote a song about that. You know, the lonely whippoorwill.
I want to tell you something, Paul. You know the flags that we put around, we're just saying around the property for the meetings? Well, through some friends who formerly lived in South Africa, they live in Europe now. And We have, well, not that it's Europe, but we have an Australian flag that's coming to us from Australia to put on the property. We have a flag coming from Germany and Switzerland.
Oh,
so we have the authentic flag. Now, they say a lot of these things, some of them could be made in China, but they come from.
Exactly. You know, yeah. We'll know till we get them.
We'll know till we get them, yeah. I mean, I've asked them, please find something that's made. You know, if you can find that label, that would mean a lot.
Well, they'll still be, absolutely.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, I have an old South African flag, as well as you do also, I think.
Yes, sir.
The old South, which I guess they still here. It's some companies make them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the Canadian buy those in South Africa anymore.
You know that's a very sad thing. No, you can't, because I asked a few people to get me, and they just said no. You know, we don't make them anymore.
Right.
So it's not something they recognize. In fact, you probably get yourself into a lot more trouble.
Because it's racist, though.
Oh, beyond that, I mean.
Because you won't go back to the apartheid.
Right, you'd be necklaced. You'd probably be necklaced, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe even by white people. You know, it's just, it's hard to tell. You know, you don't, just because someone's white from there doesn't mean, you know, they're on our side.
Right.
You know, I mean, remember, they handed the country over and gave it away.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. They voted.
I mean, it's sad when you see your flag go, it's all reality, you know, and your national anthem, you know.
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. It's gone. I mean, there's nothing. You know,
the national anthem that was there before the Nelson Mandela is a new national anthem now.
Yes.
Okay. And the old national anthem, what did you remember? Not that I want you to sing it for us, but do you remember anything that?
Well, yes. The correct Afrikaans name was called Die Stem, which meant the anthem, the national anthem. And it would be a beautiful song, speaking about the skies, the hills, of how the foot trekkers have, you know, gone and explored and, you know, built the land up, you know, and now they have a Xhosa national anthem, a tribal language that's called Inkosi Sikelel iAfrika, which means God bless Africa. But Christianity disappeared.
Right.
It's gone. It's gone. We work for a Christian country, not anymore.
Right.
You know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's just kind of a, if you, even when, I don't know if you really want to call it a remnant of a Christian country, but you I know, mean, you still
well,
have
America's your, Christian about gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. Clean fast.
Right.
Hey, well, I think the boys, I think they're going to go somewhere. I'm going to hike. If they want to leave, now say goodbye. Come back here and say goodbye to all your fans. You got thousands of fans out here, Caleb. That's just a, Caleb.
Bye.
Okay, Tate, say goodbye to all your fans. All right. And if you want to write Caleb and Tate, they can write to us at P.O. Box 2222 in Harrison, Arkansas. Let us know what you think of Caleb and Tate's little input here. And Abigail's leaving too, I see. She's out of here. So she get out the door. Watch out for her hand.
I'm looking.
The hand's good. All right. Anyway, so if you want, if you're a fan of Caleb and Tatum, send us a note. Let us know. They'll like to hear from you, wouldn't they?
Jason. Well, and that just shows, you know, the conferences and stuff like that we have. You know, it's made up of families. You know, and. So hopefully, you know, if this is the first time listening, you don't have anything to be afraid of, an 11-year-old or an 8-year-old. And so, you know,
everyone see these images here, on TV, though.
Right. No, they see the images of these mean, you know, people or the movies, and they portray them as just people that just wants to kill everybody.
Yeah, and she's sitting around with a can of beer in one hand, cigarette in the other hand.
Right.
You follow language. And,
yeah.
Trying to flex your muscle, how tough they are, yeah. Full of tattoos, and they just look like they're troublemakers.
Yeah.
And,
right.
People don't have to understand that's not what this is about.
Yeah. You know, it's just made up of families, and they were trying to preserve the white Christian families here.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's just so important that when you come to these conferences, you know, bring your spouse and children and stuff like that. They will have a good time. It is really the only place in the United States you can go to and have a white Christian family retreat.
And it's like I've always told any guest we've had here, like when we had 60 Minutes Australia here, one of the first things I said is, you know, this is not a compound. Please don't call it a compound. There are no walls keeping people in or out. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody guarding the gate with a rifle like some of these – you know, groups portray themselves. it's very, I mean, my wife and I, when we first started coming here, you know, we felt very comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, everybody does. Everybody does. Let's talk politics a little bit. Angela Merkel was here in the United States on Friday. And there's a little bit of controversy because Donald Trump shook hands with her when she first arrived. But then at their photo op, after their meeting, it appeared that Donald Trump totally ignored her. You know,
yeah.
When did you see that video?
I did not.
Well, I'll show it here in a little bit.
I almost can visualize it. Just a
you can hear it shows them sitting in their chairs. And people can imagine because they've seen that before. Then hear camera people. You can hear them saying handshake, about half a dozen handshake. I can hear them. I could hear them. I can't imagine Donald Trump did not hear them. Because I could hear them on the mic. But I don't know. I wasn't in Donald Trump's seat. And then, but Merkel obviously heard them because then you could hear her say, you want to have the handshake or do a handshake or something like that? And she's speaking to him, but he's looking straight ahead.
Completely ignored her.
And totally, like she wasn't even there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some kind of people may say, well, that's always very diplomatic. I don't know. I don't know why he would do it unless they just have real total disdain, disrespect for her. Because she wanted to flood Germany with even more migrants.
Yeah.
She wants to destroy Germany.
Right. Doesn't she want like 100 and something? It was a number to it.
You meant 100,000.
100,000.
Yeah, not 100.
Like yeah. No, 100,000. Yeah, right. 100,000. Right. Plus.
Yeah.
Well, people don't realize that Merkel, as a young, like a teenager or in the 20s, was a member of basically a communist organization, you know. And it may not have been called a communist, but it's a very much of a progressive
globalist
organization.
Yeah.
And so that's something she just believes. And no, one way you change a country is you change the demographics. If you can't, you can't willingly change the people's thinking, well, just replace them with a population, you know, that will accept your ideas. Yeah. And so, she's absolutely receiving a lot of backlash, you know, in Germany because, I mean, you're getting hundreds of thousands of non-whites pouring in there and, you know, you have your white population. It's just like, what do we do? You know?
Well, the Alternative for German Party is growing so fast, they're actually going to, they say this year, they're going to have people in the government.
Yeah.
Because they do things differently over there. I'm sure South Africa is kind of like the same way as Europe.
Parliamentary system.
Yeah. The number of people that you got percentage-wise, you get one seat, you get 5 seats, 10 seats in the parliament. In America, you either win or lose.
Right.
Right. America has its main Republican and Democrat in South Africa. I mean, you can have things on one of the elections. My mother showed me the ballots, and there were 27 different parties, official.
Yeah. You know, I think that would be a better system myself.
Well, America is not, if anyone that has studied American history understands that the Constitution is not based on a parliamentary system. It's not based on that. And that's why, because under a parliamentary system, a government or a constitution is changing all the time. That's why England is on a parliamentary system, and that's why their constitution constantly changes. The United States Constitution is not based on a parliamentary system. They have three branches. You got the executive, legislation, and judicial. It's set in stone as far as what the.
No, but I mean, a party. They didn't establish two political parties.
No, they didn't establish two parties. But what I'm saying is the government itself is not based on a parliamentary system. Yes, it's based on representative form of government, you know, but it's not based on a parliamentary system. And so there are different procedures as far as on a parliamentary system and what you would have as a Republican form of constitution system. And that's why the United States Constitution, the government, is the longest lasting government, you know, over 200 some years, where England, like this last vote of the president of Britain, when they changed their whole constitutions and how they run the thing, because that's what a parliamentary system is based on. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying it's right, but that's just what our founding forefathers, when they formed this government, They were very wise. They were very knowledgeable of all the different types of governments out there. They studied Greece and Rome and knew all the different forms of governments. And that's why they created this type of government. And basically, it was a type of government to made it to try to slow the process down on passing laws and doing anything quickly. They did not want anything to be done quickly. And so that's why there's all these different checks and balances out there. That's why in a parliamentary system, you can have 20, 30 different parties going into running for an election. And under a parliamentary type of system, they're all allotted a certain percentage of electoral wins. And so you could have a racialist organization running for a seat over there, and they get 10 seats, out of 200 or something.
I believe in 1999, there were 2 seats held by the white resistance movements in parliament.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are now.
Right, right. And so, I'm not saying in the United States that it should be changed. I mean, obviously, that's not what we're talking about right this second, but it's very hard, obviously, to be as an independent at this time. We believe that there will be a day when people will no longer want a Republican or a Democrat party in power. They're not going to want another shade of gray. They're going to want an alternative. And this is something.
That's kind of what they did this time with election of Trump.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why they're talking about the rural vote. They know that the rural vote just came out, which basically was a code word for white people. They came out in droves and voted for Trump, who was not a Republican or a Democrat per se. He was in their mind, a racialist, voting to stop the immigrants, starting to do American First policies. I mean, everything. So we need, and they're doing everything. Do what?
Come on, step forward.
Okay. They're doing everything they can. That was going to be for.
Caleb is an aspiring artist.
Exactly.
He needed a board to
draw.
Put a paper on to draw a lap. So.
But the people wanted a person who was going to look at America first, plain and simple. And right. So, but again, that's what we've always been talking about, is that eventually people are wanting to, or not wanting, they will vote for a person who's wanting to talk race and politics. Right. And so, yeah, now, we start seeing the beginning stages of that. A person just going out there and saying, hey, I'm going to start, per se, a political party and thinking that they're going to go out there and becoming president next year or win Congress, it's very hard because the Republican and Democrat parties have passed laws that's made it very hard for independent parties to go out there and try and win elections.
Right. And unfortunately, if you lose more about twice, then you're mocked as a perennial candidate after that.
Right.
And like David Duke, he's run several times out there.
And has had success.
A lot, but only elected one time.
Right.
Which is a good thing. As a state representative, did very well when he ran for senator and governor. But under our system, he basically lost.
Right.
And we're under the system that we have in some of those countries in Europe, maybe all the countries in Europe, he could have won, the same party could have won maybe 30 votes in the legislature.
Right.
Or 30 seats. And that gives him a springboard for more attention and possible growth in the future. But our system now, I don't see those things written in the Constitution. Those are things. I don't see those things in the Constitution. Those are just traditions that have been established in the country.
Well, they do that by, for example, if you're going to run for whatever seat, they made it so you have to have 10% or 14%.
Right, but those are laws that the government.
Right, it's not in the Constitution set by the parties. I guess what I'm talking about forms of government is under the Constitution, the basics of the Constitution really can't be changed unless certain mechanisms. Whereas in a parliamentary system, the whole Constitution itself can be changed
but it's just a boat. Correct. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I was looking more at the parties.
Right.
Election process. So Abigail's getting ready to go outside. She has Daddy put a jacket on her.
Well, George Washington, if anyone has never read his farewell address,
uh-huh.
I would really advise people to read his farewell address, because it talks, and it's a very long farewell address, but it's like reading it and seeing how this man, George Washington, really was, I mean, I really believe he was divine intervention as far as I'm putting Abigail's jacket on, if anyone can hear me, and she's going to go on a little hike or walk. Okay. But
go grab her. Okay, Abigail's left the room, left the building.
But under his farewell address, you know, he really was a prophet, because he talks about the political parties, that if you have political parties where all they're looking out is after themselves and people that are running for seats, if they're just being loyal to a political party, then they're eventually going to betray the country, because that's all they're looking for is a political party. They're not looking for what's best interest.
And we see that in the form of John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Right. And so he's talking about if you have basically the Eastern establishment, they're just looking after themselves and not looking out at what's in the best interest of those states in the South or in the West. And all you're looking at is of a political party system, that you're just looking out for yourself, then your loyalty is not with the country, you know. And then he talks about the foreign affairs. You know, don't be entangled with, you know, basically foreign entanglements, you know, and alliances. So it just causes you being in a war for years and years and years, like in Europe. And so you read that farewell address, and it's like, oh my gosh, everything that you see now was happening. He's addressing that, you know, over 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Just very wise words, right. You know. And these people were very learned men. I mean, they were not, you know, just some backwood idiots. You know, they were very well trained. They spoke several different languages. I mean, they read philosophies and read, in, you know, Greek and Roman, and just very learned men. You know, and so they were not dumb idiots.
Yeah. Well, when they formed the country, when they formed the Constitution, you know, they felt a really awesome responsibility, because they were very concerned that they would inadvertently, not on purpose, but inadvertently put a greater oppression upon their children than that which they were freeing themselves from King George. And why free yourself from one tyrant and put yourself under the control of another tyrant?
Right.
And they didn't want this government to become a tyrant over the people. So that's why they created the three branches of government, the judiciary, the representative, legislature, and the executive, and supposed to have equal power.
Right.
But we're finding now, really, that this equal power has been taken away.
Right.
And the judiciary now is claiming all power.
Right.
I mean, Donald Trump had this executive order, and the judiciary says they were sued in court.
Right.
And the judiciary now is taking charge of the decision.
Right.
And they ruled a month ago. Now it looks like they'll probably do the same thing again and declare that Trump's executive order is unconstitutional.
Right.
And it really what's really more amazing about that, if I understand it right, is that in the first executive order, people with green cards, people that are already here on U.S. soil, maybe at the airports, were being turned back.
Right.
This executive order doesn't turn anybody back on U.S. soil. It turns them back on foreign soil.
Right.
And the court is going to – now, maybe they won't rule, but in the Ninth Circuit Court, they probably will. But the argument is those people on foreign soil have constitutional protections.
Right.
Which is absurd.
Well, I believe was the Hawaiian judge.
A Hawaiian judge.
He ruled that.
Yeah.
They
have constitutional protections.
Right.
And so what would prevent them from anybody suing
right.
on any behalf?
Right.
You know, let's suppose we are in a war with Iran or some
right.
foreign country over there. And somebody sues saying, well, the president overextending his power.
Right.
He's the commander in chief, but he's overextending his power. Then it goes to court, and a judge rules that that's right. You can't do that.
Right.
And it sounds absurd, but
you see it.
What they're doing right now is absurd.
Yeah.
Nobody would have believed it a year ago.
Well, because the fact is, I mean, you have someone like Donald Trump, which is in his power and ability, and when you're dealing with people coming to the United States, as it is under his power. It's not under the judiciary power. That's why you have their different branches.
But they take it upon them now.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying the Constitution,
right.
If they don't have that power. But then you obviously have an extremist judge that says, well, we're going to claim that power, you know. And I think eventually it's going to come to the point where you may have a president, you know, where you might have a war going like that, who's saying, you may have made that decision, I'm continuing on, you know. And well, there's that great possibility.
I would like to see Trump do that now, except I'm afraid that there's so many weak candy ass, if I can say that,
right.
Republicans who'd probably claim that that subjects him to impeachment. Right. Lindsey Graham and John McCain, if Donald Trump would say the judiciary has no power over the executive,
right.
They have no power over this issue. The Constitution clearly says that this power is given to the president and the president only,
right.
Not to the president if the judiciary agrees with it.
Right.
It's given to the president and the president only. And if he said that's the constitutional responsibility and obligation that I have as president, therefore I'm going to mute the judge's decision.
Right.
Lindsey Graham and John McCain will lead the charge to have Trump impeached.
Right. Well, I think that's why I think it's vitally important, you know, that that we get, you know, some of these, you want to call it conservative judges in the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, that hopefully will overturn some of these decisions and basically say that's an executive decision. We have no control over that.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that's the case. But I mean, I could see that happening because these extremist judges, they have an agenda. And if you have in a situation where you have a president who's trying to carry out his duties and you have another branch saying, no, you can't do it. I think it's eventually you have a branch constitutionally has the right to say you have no authority over my branch of the judiciary. You do. But not in front of the executive. No. And I have total control over this, you know, and I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, and I'm not saying if I was Trump, I don't know, because Trump's smart enough. He knows that.
Oh, he is.
I'm convinced he knows that.
Right.
But the thing is, if you're playing a chess game here.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you make the wrong move and you get all these Republicans who are vile,
right.
Who are going to lead the charge and join up Democrats, have you impeached, where did that get you? You know,
exactly.
So I understand that he's kind of don't know what to do.
Right.
But as far as this judge, I almost think that Trump ought to say, we're not going to defend our position in the court.
Yeah.
You can take the court. We're not going to defend a position because it's not a decision for the courts.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know that, again, that you'd have enough Republicans support him.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just an evidence of showing that when you have the country actually being divided, used to be a Republican form of government, being a white country and turning itself into a non-white country. I mean, this is all the fruit of it. You know, I mean, all these little different issues that's coming about is showing how the United States is changing to a non-white country, you know,
country divided.
And same thing in South Africa. Yeah. You can look at that when it was a white country. And they thought of themselves as a white country and everything was for the purpose of a white country. South Africa was doing really well. And then once it became basically a non-white country and ruled by non-whites.
Rhodesia, same way.
Yeah. I mean, so any country that's a white country, the purpose of it is to maintain its own people and racially its own people. You're always going, for the most part, not having any problems. And so America is just following the same pattern as all these other countries before.
Well, Jason, I think we're going to cut this short today because we've got other things we've got to get taken care of and we got started a little bit late. So let's just wrap it up and just remind people of the Faith and Freedom Conference, April 28th, 29th, 30th. Brandon will be there to greet them. They will come up the driveway.
Yep.
Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Brandon will be one of our guest speakers, and then we're also Hopefully we'll be having Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression. He's, if anyone has not been following him, he's been up there in Canada with court battles, helping defend their right to free speech up there in Canada. And then we also have Pete Papayerkles from the American or America Free Press,
right?
Who's a originally from Greece. And then, of course, we have Pastor Rob and Rachel Pentagraph, myself, and Tom Bowie, who's a political activist as well.
There's a couple others we're hoping will come, but we haven't been confirmed yet.
So. Right. Anyway, it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful market calendar, 28th, 29th, 30th. What date is that, Brendan?
28th, 29th, and 30th.
What date, Jason?
28th, 29th, 30th.
28th, 29th, and 30th. What month?
April.
That's your question.
So mark your calendar. Make the plans. There's nothing more important. This is important.
You got to stick together, people.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And you got to bring your kids. Well, until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Jason Robb.
Brendan Warner.
And we're reminding you to love your God and love your people.